You're listening to Bach in the Black Shirt.
Terrell Farley.
Defending Terrell Farley.
Who last week in his first start was a holy terror. Number 43.
And Jake Bachovin. Buck. On air and online at theticketfm.com. Powered by Bauer.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Bach in the Black Shirt here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is Friday, September 19th, and we are one day away from Michigan, number 21 Michigan versus Nebraska Cornhuskers here at Lincoln Memorial Field tomorrow at 2:40, CBS kickoff. We have Octavius McFarland in the building with us. My man, Tavy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You got his mic on, Bach?
Yep.
All right. Talk a little louder for me, Tavy, now.
I'm doing good, man.
All right. Now, we're getting ready to face Texas tomorrow, man. Bach, did you watch the game last night?
Michigan tomorrow.
I mean, Michigan. Yeah, yeah. Octavius from Texas. I keep that's why I sit my ear like that. All right, Bach, did you watch any of them games last night?
I did not get to watch too much of it. Again, the NFL I don't have Amazon Prime, so I'm going to have to probably get that at some point. If there's a game that piques my interest, but I didn't have a whole lot of faith in the Dolphins, though they did keep it closer through a majority of the night than I maybe thought they would have.
All right, Bach, let's get into the game for tomorrow, y'all. We already know who we're playing. We're playing Michigan, a great team who's lost to Oklahoma already. Let's talk about some of the advantages tomorrow, Bach. Who has the advantage when we talk about Michigan versus Nebraska tomorrow? Quarterback, Riola versus the young guy.
Boy, it's tough, right? I mean, that could be the big question. Obviously, one has wheels, one does not. One has experience, one does not. So it's kind of where you want to look at that. Obviously, surrounding talent can go a long way for that too. Nebraska feels like they got better wide receivers, tight ends. Michigan might have an edge there, but Nebraska doesn't feel underwhelming at tight end, right? Luke Lindenmeyer's been good so far. Of course, the line play is going to be a big part of this. And then running backs, just because of depth, you probably give the edge to Michigan. So, I mean, All this stuff is just going to be it's going to be a close game. That's why the prediction is so close. But specifically at quarterback, I got to feel like Nebraska has a bit of an advantage just because of the experience factor.
Yeah. It is Riola. He's probably the reason why Nebraska has this advantage over Underwood, because he's a more experienced guy. When you talk about a guy who's been in the Big Ten for already 1 year, instead of a guy who only playing his fourth collegiate college game right here, when we talk about Bryce Underwood, I give that to Riola. When we talk about running backs, okay, we already know our running back situation. We don't know too much of Michigan running back, but hey, he's the number one rusher in the Big Ten, I think. He's number two rusher in the Big Ten. Has 300 and, I think, 58 yards or something like that. 388 yards. What's his name, Hayes?
Yeah, Justice Haynes.
Justice Haynes. I would say he's better than our running back. He's a transfer type of guy. Think he came from? Where did he come from?
He came from Alabama.
Alabama. So yeah, he's one of those Alabama guys. I will give him the edge. Everybody else gives him the edge over Emmitt Johnson when we talk about running back wise. And plus, once we go past Emmitt Johnson, Nebraska is still trying to find that backup guy. Quinn Knives did a great job last week. Still kind of battling back to getting in shape from the hamstring injury he had during fall ball.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Justice Haynes, again, you'd like to give Emmitt Johnson that check mark next to his name for that for Nebraska. But Justice Haynes has shown the ability to break the long ones, right? The 75-yarder that he had to start off that Oklahoma game. But also, you know, just consistently, 100 yards in every game, 5 touchdowns total. What might really give Michigan the edge, though, and a name that people aren't talking a whole lot about, is the backup situation. You mentioned Nebraska's backup situation, not quite fizzled out yet. We'll see what happens with Quentin Ives. Seems to have taken that over. On their side, they've got Jordan Marshall, who ran for over 100 against Alabama in the bowl game. So again, both running backs maybe have some sort of Alabama connection to them. But Jordan Marshall can go too. So I think the running backs, you give them the advantage. By the way, look out for Justice Haynes. Coach Ron Moore this offseason compared him to Blake Corum, that he's kind of that one cut and go type of style. And so Blake Corum had plenty of success against Nebraska and most of college football when he played against them. So let's hope he's not quite Blake Corum.
All right, Buck, next position, wideouts. All right, we know Michigan doesn't have a deep threat like Nebraska because we haven't seen them pass that much. You can tell by the way they play Oklahoma, they don't really have a settled number one guy. So all the experts, even me, myself, I'll get it to Nebraska with Dane Key and Nazir Hunter and Ja'Cory Bonney. And plus the tight end group can be added into that group.
Yeah, you could. And that's where Michigan does have a pretty good player there at tight end, but maybe a little bit banged up coming into the game is Marlon Klein. So we'll see. He could be a big factor in this game, but like you're saying, because in totality, the weaponry that Nebraska has there with the wide receivers, we don't even know which one it's going to be, right? I mean, could it be Dane Key or Hunter? Certainly, you know, it could be Ja'Cory Bonney that pops out and makes the big play. In the last couple of games, we've seen, you know, some younger freshmen have some long touchdowns. So we'll see. You just feel like if you listed the top three wide receivers for the game, I think they'd all be on Nebraska's side.
All right, Buck, next position, O-line. The experts give it to Michigan. They got some big horses on that, houses, however they say it, on their offensive line. These guys probably have a combined weight of probably 6'3", probably average out around 312, Buck. If you look at these guys, Evan Lincoln is 6'6", 324. Greg Kippen is 6'4", 309. Brady Norton is 6'4", 312. You're talking about some guys. Then Andrew Sprague, who's 6'8", 315. And when you look at these guys, they look pretty big online. Nebraska defensive line is going to have their hands full tomorrow when we talk about these guys. But for right now, O-line goes to Michigan.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Michigan ran for 390 yards against Central Michigan. This isn't the best Michigan offensive line. You know, Wolverines fans are still hoping it kind of comes together a little bit like the last couple of lines have. And that's, you know, that's just kind of part of it. You go back to the days when Nebraska had dominant offensive lines. You'd have to replace those guys, obviously, as the years went on. And so Michigan, it's not, you know, they're probably their best offensive line in years, but they are an offensive line program. I keep going back to that. It's not a run dominant team. It's not an offensive line team. It's a program. And so they very much have built that in. So it's going to be one of the best in the league, at least we expect this year, as these guys kind of get more experience underneath their belt. Nebraska, that's the big question, right? For Nebraska, can you keep Dylan Raiola clean? Can you create some opportunity for Emmett Johnson in the running game? Because this is, you know, it's the front lines, right? That's what a lot of these games are going to come down to. And Michigan's front seven, which we might get to the defensive side here in a second, is just loaded with talent and a lot of depth. They're going to throw a lot at you. So this offensive line right now, you might give the edge to Michigan. In Nebraska, a lot of it's, you know, is also just what can it look like here now that they've got the group together, they've got solidified starters. Is that going to be the case this week when we see some backups get more opportunities? So right now, Michigan's got that advantage.
All right, Buck, defensive line.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
The experts give it to Michigan. I'm going to have to go Michigan too. Nebraska hasn't played a team that's really a rushing team like this Michigan team. And when you look at Michigan's size against Nebraska's size, how big their defensive line is compared to our defensive line, it looks like a varsity then a JV when you see that type of size. Wow. Because when you look at it, you got a guy who's Rashawn Benning, who's 6'4", 305. Defensive end for Michigan. Damon Damon Payne, 6'4", 311, nose tackle. Defensive tackle, Trey Pierce, 6'2", 310. And then they rounded out with Derek Moore, who's an outside backer that will play some on the line, is 6'3", 260. When you look at those type of size, Nebraska still is trying to find out who's our best rusher is. I don't think we know that yet. A lot of people say McCullum. He's still a tweener to me as a Jack linebacker that plays DN.
Yeah, and this is and again, this is where the game kind of comes into question. A lot of people might be favoring Nebraska one way or the other, but here we go on the lines, and both you and I think most people give that advantage to Michigan. Michigan, that's the strength of their team. The strength of their defense is that front seven. Now and similar to the offensive line I was saying earlier, they've lost some guys, but they lost some of those guys, the Mason Grahams of the world, before the bowl game against Alabama, and were able to go out there and still put on a heck of a performance. This is kind of what drives the program forward. They're just littered with guys that could be all Big Ten picks up front. So, you know, when you compare that to Nebraska, the concern coming into the year, who's going to replace Ty and Nash? That was basically, you know, one of the bigger games you would circle for that question is right here against Michigan, because of the way that they run their football program and run the ball on the ground. So we'll see. Nebraska, that's the question going into the game. Obviously gave up 200 yards on the ground to Cincinnati. So you got to give Michigan the advantage here.
All right, Bob, linebackers. I only got one word. Ernest Hausman, former Nebraska player who transferred to Michigan from Columbus, Nebraska. He leads the way. He's the leading team on this Michigan team with 20. They have another guy who's Deshaun Barham, who's 6'3", 241. He's the heart of this defense. This is the guy who missed the first half of the Oklahoma game before he came back, or the game before that. But this kid, right, these two are probably one of the best one and two combos you can see in college football. And then when you come on Nebraska side, you have guys like Javon Wright. You have guys like Vincent Shavers. You have guys like Marquise Watson-Trent, who we've seen the two last week who started together because Javon was out. Now, we don't know how the combo is going to go this week, but you're going to have a mobile quarterback, and you got to have a guy who's going to be able to keep up with this quarterback, who's going to have to probably spot his quarterback most of the game. So I don't see Nebraska having a better linebacker group than Michigan. I could probably say they're probably a little ways off, but not too far. But you have to go with Michigan on that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. This is not a big gap or anything like that. I think Nebraska and Michigan's linebackers are pretty close. But I think Michigan does have the standouts, like you kind of put it. Hausman leads the Big Ten in tackles. We know from having watched him here at Nebraska, he was one of the best young prospects Nebraska had. He's continued that development in the maize and blue, and now is one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten. You mentioned Barham. I mean, he's in that same kind of conversation. I don't know if Nebraska has a guy that's quite there yet. I think they've got some talent in there that might be able to maybe this is your game where you pop up. But right now, slight edge in this one to Michigan.
All right, DBs. Nebraska. I mean, you have to go with Nebraska. If you look at it, stat-wise, is the only reason we can go with Nebraska, because we haven't seen these guys been thrown on in three games. When you talk about Nebraska, who gives up what? 79 yards a game in passing right now. Bar none past the Houston Christian College of Death we played and the Akrons we played in, the Cincinnati team that didn't pass. So maybe this will be a test for this team. I don't think it'll be a test. It depends how Michigan runs the ball tomorrow. If they effectively can run the ball, I think that we won't have to see too much of Bryce Underwood passing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nebraska still hasn't given up a pass over 20 yards. That's huge. You're not giving up big plays. As you mentioned, I mean, they're one of the best defenses through three games. I think they have the lowest amount of defensive pass yards given up since the year 2000. So it's been incredible for Nebraska's pass defense so far. Sierra Wright, I think, has given up 4 yards on the season. So you give Nebraska the edge there. Michigan, that is somewhat the question. Rod Moore returning. He missed all of last season. And in the start of this season, returning at safety there, they're hoping that gives them a little bit of a jump. Jair Hill is long. He can contest. He's a good cornerback there for them. So they're not awful, but Nebraska has just been standout in the secondary, so they should get the edge.
All right, Box, special teams. Experts give it to Nebraska. We can say that because Mike Eckler, Mike Eklund got these guys playing at a probably you would not, I wouldn't say let's say he got a plan at he's a hype man. He's like a hype man in a mosh pit who goes crazy and like to jump on his players. We seen him in action. He was very good at Tennessee. Brought the same tempo of coaching that he did for Tennessee. He brought it to Nebraska. Got these guys probably, I think, the number one special teams or number two special teams in the nation right now. Good kicking crew. Haven't seen Archie kick in the last two games. No, we're going to see him kick this game. So you don't have to worry about Archie not kicking the ball this week.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this is certainly a game we talk about, you know, a 1.5-point spread or whatever. We're breaking all this down, saying it's close this way and that way. Certainly a game that could come down to special teams or a special teams play. And Nebraska definitely in a better position than they were in previous years. I don't know. I mean, if you give a slight edge to Nebraska, you might. I mean, I could see it. Just because of the improvement that we've seen. Michigan's got one heck of a kicker, though. And their kicker last year was, I believe it was a 5 for 5 or 7 for 7 from beyond 50 yards. Now he's 4 of 6 so far this year. So he's got to kind of be able to work that out a little bit for him. But last year was fantastic. Dominic Zavada is his name. They got a new punter. Nebraska obviously feels pretty good about what their punter is, but we haven't seen him. We haven't even seen him on the field the last couple of weeks. So I'd actually probably give Michigan the slight edge here because of their place kicker, but not a big one.
All right, Bob, head coaches. The experts are going with Matt Rhule. Of course, you have to go with Matt Rhule because Shamon Moore is not even coaching. They got an assistant coaching Biff. What's his name?
Poggi, yep.
Poggi. He's the one that's going to coach the team tomorrow. Now, the thing when we give the edge over Matt Rhule, Matt Rhule has to go out and prove us wrong because he has to have a victory over a top 20 team, top 25 team, which he haven't had in a long time. I don't know his record against top 25 teams, 2-20 something. I don't know for sure, but his record is not good against ranked opponents. So tomorrow is a must win for Nebraska, must win for Matt Rhule, and a must win for the state of Nebraska.
Yeah, it's funny. I think, you know, in those numbers where we're flying around, you know, kind of going into some top 25 matchups last year, it's tough. You know, they're harder to run down this year because it's just tough to keep throwing those up year after year, you know, year after year, game after game. Nebraska's lost 27 straight. As you mentioned, Matt Rhule's record against top 25 opponents, not much better. Always go back to the fact that he's a program builder, so he not expected to win those games in the first couple of years. Maybe by year three when he's had those opportunities, maybe he would have expected, came close against Oklahoma twice at Baylor. Close doesn't count. You get an L in the category. So it's not something I'm overly concerned about at this point, but you're right. I mean, you start to wonder if you lose to Biff Poggi. I mean, this is in so many ways Nebraska's opportunity, Matt Rhule's opportunity to get that sort of thing off their back. And then we can stop going with all these counts of how many straight losses they've had.
All right, Bach, let's go to break. And when we come back, we're going to get in depth with Octavius McFarland, who's here from Bastrop, Texas. One of my good old friends from back in the days. One of the guys I stayed with in the summer when I first got here, Bob. 93.7 The Ticket. Bach in the Black Shirt will be right back.